Everybody stand by. This is the generic opener for the Weekend Legends in 5, 4...
Jerry, we don't have time for the countdown. We've got to start the show.
What?
Finally, it only took 5 long days at work, but the weekend is here.
Let's do it.
As we squeeze every drop of sport out of the week, like a tube of toothpaste that you've had to roll up the end and then squeeze it really hard with your finger to get that last little drop out.
What we're seeing is really a lowering of the bar.
Prepare for another weekend of balls bouncing, rackets hitting, bats smashing, players complaining, and umpires caught scratching their nuts. Sit back, relax, and enjoy what Triple M likes to call the Weekend Legends.
Yes, we are the Weekend Legends on Triple M with AH, Chris and Rose. We're just 3 footy fans, 3 rounds into the NRL, and loving it. My name is Chris Gale. There's an old expression in rugby league that drawing a match is like kissing your sister. Not much fun at all.
Depends on your sister, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does. As the Tigers went to 4 out of 17 in Golden Point going down to the Brisbane Broncos last night, 7-9. I go, what's wrong with kissing your sister? AH, Kaylee, how much are you loving life this Saturday?
I'm loving life so much. And to be honest with you, Chris, the show is just an impediment to the rest of my weekend.
It's underway.
After the show's done, I'm heading down to Redfern Oval to see the Redfern All Blacks, the women's team, play their first game in the Harvey Norman New South Wales Women's Premiership against Newcastle.
It sounds like a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon. Andrew Rose, I know you're loving life after last night at ANZ Stadium.
The sun is shining brighter. Everything tastes better. It's a great day because the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs have finally won a game of rugby league in 2018. I couldn't be happier, Chris Gale.
Finally. What? You make it sound like it's round 12.
Well, it's round 3. That's long enough for me. I needed a win.
One game does not a season, mate. We've got a great show for you this morning because we're talking to some proper legends over the course of the 2 hours. We've got Jude Bolton previewing the AFL season where the Swans and GWS Giants are both in action on Triple M next tomorrow. We're talking to Greg Rust, Mr. Motorsport, down at Albert Park about the Formula One and the V8 supercars.
Rusty.
And coming up, Fox Sports' Brayton Astor will, you know, take apart how his two of his former teams fared last night. You're on Triple M Weekend Legends. Big night of NRL last night. The Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs prevailed over the Penrith Panthers 20-18 at ANZ Stadium. Following that, Brisbane Broncos in Golden Point over the West Tigers 9-7 at Campbelltown. And we're thrilled to have NRL legend and Fox Sports commentator Brayton Astor joining us this morning. Good morning, Braith.
Good morning, guys.
So, let's go straight to the Bulldogs game, Braith.
Yeah.
Yes.
The dysfunctional family club that is Canterbury, if you've been following recent elections, got over all that off-field drama to win last night. What was your impression of the game?
Yeah, it was just a good, tough win for Canterbury. You know, obviously they've been struggling off the field, as you just mentioned, but also on it. Their first week was quite good, but it was against Melbourne, and Melbourne were just too classy for them. But, their attack was good, whereas against the Roosters, their attack and defence was poor. So it was really important that they just had a hard, tough, fought-out win. It wasn't pretty to watch by any means, but it was their defence was strong. They were physical. You could tell they had sort of that win-at-all-costs attitude, and they were just going to win no matter what. And Penrith, well, Penrith got too far behind again, and they lost Cleary, and they couldn't get there in the end, really.
Braith, it's Rose here. Firstly, I just got to thank you for 2004. It was the last time I was truly happy. And I appreciate it. Good on you, mate. Mate, one of the highlights for me... Yeah, it was good times. One of the highlights for me last night was Josh Morrison, his 200th game, scoring a cracker of a try. What were your thoughts on him? He still looked quick, didn't he?
Yeah, he surprised me. He outrun Wonga Blake and the rookie there, Crichton. It was a good run from him. He's always been enormous defensively, and that's why he's played Origin, Australia, and the like. He's great in attack as well. But and when he did get in open space, Josh or Brett, they were just always home and hose. No one would get near them. But he's aging, so it was a bit of a surprise to see him get there, and he got there quite easily. So it was really good. He's 200th game for the Bulldogs. He's been a fantastic player for a long period of time now in our game. So to see him rewarded with a win on a milestone game and get that try from an intercept was great to watch.
It was beautiful to watch. And with Frawley out, you had the new pairing of Foran and Marshall King going together. What do you think about their performance?
Yeah, Marshall King was really good. He did everything he had to do. He's only young, so he played with a really level head. His kicking game was solid. He put it over the touch there late in the game to try and wind down the clock. He threw a couple of nice passes, one to Moses Umbai for his second try. So, he did what he had to do. I mean, there's a lot of focus on Foran, and he's going to get two out all year, and they've got to try and come up with other ways of turning their attack away from him so that there's a bit more variation there. I think against the Roosters last week, Foran was kind of, it was a bit one-dimensional, the Bulldogs, whereas Marshall King took a bit of focus off him last night, and Mbai was, he was the best player on the field. He was sensational.
Man of the match, by far.
Braith, speaking of Moses Mbai, there was a lot of controversy around his first try, many calling it obstruction, that James Maloney was prevented from tackling. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I was definitely a penalty. I was shocked by it in the call. I called it with Blocker Roach, and Blocker's like, yeah, but James Maloney had an opportunity to tackle him. Yeah, but the ruling is that you got to be on the inside shoulder, and you can't make contact with the defender, and in any way, I suppose, dampen their opportunity from making a tackle. And if Hubbardy doesn't touch Maloney there, he's got an extra metre probably to get there and put his body in front of Mbai. It was a poor miss by Maloney, but at the same time, that's a penalty every day of the week. We've seen it for the last couple of seasons, so I was a bit shocked by that one. I don't know how anyone else saw it, but I thought the Bulldogs got a bit lucky with that.
Looks like a try to me.
Yeah, so that's an asterisk. Asterisk against that win, Braith. Now, on to sadder matters, the Tigers went down 7-9 in Golden Point for a penalty for the markers not being square.
Yes. I feel sorry for the Tigers. They didn't deserve to probably lose, let alone lose like that. It was a tough one. It was a very tough game. Not only the other side were fantastic, but to lose in Golden Point, the penalty in that situation again. Are we going to be consistent with that? We haven't seen that too often. Penalties given in those situations under pressure. Normally, the referees put the whistle away. They made a call. They made a call, and if you look at it. For what it is, Rocco wasn't square. So, again, do they give that penalty every week, or is it just I don't know. There's got to be some consistency there.
Speaking of Golden Point, Braith, Gus Gould on the coverage last night went off about Golden Point. He's done with it, apparently. He's jack of it. How do you feel about Golden Point at this point?
He's been blowing up for years, Gus, about it. He's very passionate. he's very passionate about it. Fair enough, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I actually really enjoy Golden Point. I always have. I think it's a good spectacle. I think it's what the crowds enjoy and come to see. Obviously, if your side loses, you feel bad. But, you get the rub of the green sometimes. You don't. I think it's great to watch. It's good television and it's good viewing for all the fans. I really enjoy it.
Braith, a pretty big topic on the show today is just the matter of penalties in general. What are your thoughts on we've heard it's a 14-year high for penalties. What are your thoughts on this sort of penalties crackdown that's going on at the moment?
Good point. I haven't read anything this morning. I haven't read up in the media. But when you say that, I'm a little bit surprised by how many penalties have been blown. I think it was the Tigers Melbourne game last week was 26 or 28 penalties in the game.
Yes, 18-8 against the Tigers.
Well, there you go, 26. Last Melbourne Cowboys again, and then to start the game that I was calling Bulldogs Penrith, there's a crackdown on offside, So teams have got to be, they always do this at the start of the year. They try and prove a point and try and tell the teams, you've got to get back onside or whatever it may be that they think they've got to crack down on.
Yeah, it's
so
good.
The teams have got to, they've got to pick up on it, and they've just got to learn quick and move on, and I think it'll even itself out the next few weeks.
It's good for the whistle manufacturers. They've got to replace the piece. Look, Ray, thanks very much for joining us this morning. We know you've got another big year coming up on Fox League, and I loved your little Grand Prix promo I saw during the week as well.
Yeah, I've got no idea about the Grand Prix, but I tried to bluff it.
But as far as Fox League is concerned, you can live stream the 2018 NRL Telstra Premiership on Fox League. Get your free 2-week Foxtel trial now at foxsports.com.au. Braith Anassis, thanks so much, mate.
Cheers, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Braith. Bye.
Cheers, Braith.
Weekend Legends, Triple M. What's that smell? I think it's Easter show time.
Yes, that's right, Chris Gale. The dodging cars are oiled. The Dagwood dogs are hot and the wood choppers are ripped. It's Easter show time, and I'm always very excited about the Easter show. There's many things I love about the Easter show. The food pavilion, the animal walk, a big wood chipping guy.
The food pavilion.
Yeah, the food pavilion. Thank you.
That pavilion where it's stuff made out of food.
Yeah, right.
Inspirational.
But one of the biggest highlights every year for the Easter show is clearly the Showbag Pavilion.
I love show bags.
And, you know, the rule of thumb is that you finish with the Showbag Pavilion, right? It's the last thing you do before you... I don't know those crazy people that go straight to the Showbag Pavilion and carry them around all day.
What no, but you know why? Because the one that you want might sell out.
Well, speaking of the one that you want, it's the one that we all want. It's the Triple M Easter Showbag.
Yay!
It's back. The legendary Triple M Showbag is back again this year. Now, Chris, I know you're a big fan of Triple M memorabilia. You like to have things, hats, shirts, anything with Triple M on it.
I stock my man cave with it, Rose.
Well, there's a lot of good things in the bag this year. There's a Triple M backpack or cooler bag, depending on what you choose.
Well, can you choose it? I hope you can, because the stress of not knowing which item I'm going to get until I open the bag is just a little bit too much for me. So it's good to hear that you can choose.
Well, like AH said, you might want to get in early to make sure you can choose between the back bag or the cooler bag, because it could go out. It's going to go like hotcakes.
Do you know what? Buy two show bags. Why not? Get yourself one of each.
There you go. You get a Triple M t-shirt as well. Hopefully something in 4XL for you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
A Triple M cap or a trucker hat that you can wear sideways to look cool to the teenagers.
Okay, now I've got
to
buy a truck.
Just a cool... Cool dudes with your cool bags.
Yeah, and what would a Triple M show bag be without a Triple M bottle opener key ring? So I think it's going to be a solid bag this year.
That's sounding pretty good, isn't it?
I love the Easter show since I was a kid, but I was always the one that had to hold everyone's hats and stuff because I'm the rides guy. You know what I mean? I don't go on the rides.
So you're scared.
It's just a description of like your... life path.
Yeah, it's a story of my life. Everyone else having fun while I'm standing around holding their bags and hats. That was me at the Easter show.
I remember when I was about 15 during my punk phase, I went to the Easter show after a party, so I was quite hungover. Although now that I'm 28, I know that what I thought was a hangover in my teens was not at all.
Right.
And I swore that I would never go back again. And then went back when I was about 20 or something. And it's the best day.
Yeah.
The reason I go back to the Easter show year on, year off is just to check out what's happening with those little ducklings.
Yeah.
You know, in the farmyard bit where you're meant to be able to pet them, and they're sort of up on a little precipice, and they're trying to get the grain, but there's a slide and they slip into the water.
They trick them every time they fall for it, Chris.
Stupid ducklings.
Surely the RSPCA is going to intervene at some stage in relation to this.
Speaking of being unwell at the Easter show, AH, my sister was quite unwell one year at the Easter show, and she was up-chucking into a bin near the rides.
A good old Easter show spew.
Yeah, and she was yelling, "Daniel! Daniel!" And we're all going, "Who's Daniel? We've never met Daniel before." She was just yelling some random dude's name while she was throwing up. Hi, sis, I know you're listening.
We went on the Zipper one year, which is really, it's the equivalent of, you know, being a part of the Apollo moon missions on those things that spin around.
Yeah.
And the rider operators, they have no sympathy. And there was a guy there clearly on a first date with a girl, and they left him on for a lot longer than the normal ride. He threw up green, and in front of the entire crowd, she said, "Never speak to me again." Hopefully he got her a Triple M show bag as compensation. You're on Weekend Legends, Triple M. Now, we're talking all things NRL every Saturday between 10 a.m. and midday. AH Kaylee, we are officially in a penalty-a-thon. The argument is short-term pain for long-term gain.
Yeah, so I think we really need to talk about penalties, don't we?
Let's do it.
So they were already in the spotlight after that Storm Cowboys game, the grand final rematch. Joey John said the number of penalties ruined the game on the footy show. Ryan Girdler agreed with him. And we're hearing that the penalty count is currently at a 14-year high.
Mm.
14 years. So not since... Oh, I should have done that maths. 2004?
Yep.
Not since 2004.
Since the Bulldogs scraped the premiership.
That's right. Hello, Brayton Nesta!
And then, of course, last night in that Tigers-Broncos game, referee Ashley Klein had to be escorted off the field by security at Campbelltown. Always happens at Campbelltown, doesn't it?
That's what we call standard practice,
at least. That's how you shake hands in Campbelltown.
That's how we roll.
So they had to keep a bit of an eye on him after handing a penalty kick to the Broncos in extra time, ruling that the Tigers were offside at the marker during that kick. Broncos won the game because of that, and Gus Gould had this to say.
Talking to a lot of people in and around the referees, I mean, they're under an edict now that they've got to keep going with this, they've got to rule to the letter of the law. But the way it's being described to me is it's a bit like the highway patrol picking people up who are doing 61 in a 60 zone. There's always a little bit of give and take. At the moment, there's no give. All right, that's why they're blowing so many penalties. They're keeping it to the letter of the law. And then we got down to that last 7 or 8 minutes before that last penalty, and everything was sort of back to normal again. You know, it was okay to be offside. It was okay to be a marker, race up and try and put pressure on the kicker for the field goal, and then pluck out of nowhere. Did anyone see that penalty coming?
No.
Did anyone see that penalty coming? And I reckon over the last 3 weeks, I've seen 50 penalties where as soon as the whistle's blown, the players have turned around, the crowd's gone, "What was that for?" They're not obvious penalties. They're gotcha penalties. I've gotcha. Here I am behind the I'm on behind a tree with a radar gun. I've got you doing 61 and a 60. I've got you.
Gotcha.
He said pluck, right?
Boys, what do we reckon? Are penalties mucking up the game?
Oh, I love Gus Gould. Every time he gets unhappy, it warms my heart.
He's like the Kanye West of the NRL, I think. He just says stuff. I love it.
I hope he's running for president in 2020. I kind of agree with him how the idea of... I say no penalties in Golden Point. I say anything goes in Golden Point. Just let the teams play it out. And like he said, both teams should have walked away with a point last night. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame, even though I picked the Broncos, it was good for my footy tipping, it's a shame that the game was ended that way on a decision by a ref, which he's right. Any of the plays in the 8 minutes before that could have been called as a penalty as well.
If we cut out penalties in extra time, though, if we make that a blanket rule, doesn't that just encourage dirty play in extra time?
Sure, but how good would extra time be? Yeah, be exciting, yes.
True.
Nothing wrong with kissing your sister and having a draw, in my view.
Okay.
I feel like we need context for that. It was quite a while ago, Chris.
Now, speaking of context, Freddie Fittler had the point to make about it is obviously an edict that's come from on high. Gus Gould is certainly raising a little bit of conspiracy theory that the referees are being coached to call these penalties against their KPIs, that someone's actually making the calls from off the field. That would be interesting
right.
if they're actually mic'd up.
So in their ear or something.
Yeah, but Freddie's saying, understand if you want to set a new bar when teams are on their own defensive line.
Sure.
But why in the midfield would you not allow players in a situation like with Robbie Rocco being called not square last night, allow the players to decide the game?
Yeah, you're totally right. There's a lot of talk at the moment about players doing misdemeanors on their try area, rather give away the two than give away the six. But he's right. In the middle of the field like that, 32 or 39 out, it just seemed like a really strange time to decide that that's a penalty to decide the game.
Well, it looked like the Broncos thought that was a bit weird as well. Look, after the game, Tigers coach Ivan Cleary had this to say.
Do you give penalties in Golden Point, which historically we just don't? And the other one is, was it a penalty? I actually don't think it was. Look, we all make mistakes, but that's a big one. You can tell by the way the Broncos guys reacted. It was almost like they were embarrassed to have to win.
Yeah, and we're after your thoughts on that one on 133353. This whole penalty situation, is it news about nothing or is it actually having a negative impact on our game? And I particularly want to hear from any Broncos fans. Are you embarrassed?
Really? I want to hear from the Tigers fans. They're going to be furious, aren't they?
Gus Gould said he was flat. I felt flat as a pancake after that.
Well, what do you think? 133353. We've been talking about the penalty situation in the game, particularly after the Tigers lost that game last night in extra time to the Broncos off a ref's, I think, agreed that it's a kind of a dodgy situation. And we wanted to hear your thoughts. Nick from Narrabeen is on the line on 133353. What do you got to say, Nick?
Morning, team.
Morning. G'day, champion.
My opinion is if the NRL absolutely doesn't want to have to deal with a draw, mm-hmm. then Golden Point should be decided by Golden Try, as opposed to golden penalty goal or golden field goal.
Ooh.
And if, in the interest of the players not having to play for excessive amounts of minutes before someone crosses the line, every few minutes a player leaves the field from each team.
Oh, it's a knockout.
It could be by popular vote. Everyone could vote on the Triple M app.
You could even make it kind of wrestling style, and as you take players off, the field gets smaller, and eventually it's like a one-on-one in a steel cage, and the first try wins.
What do you reckon?
No?
Does that sound good, Nick?
I think the steel cage might be taking it a bit far.
I've always taken it too far. I like the golden try idea, though, taking out the field goals and the two-pointers. Just it's whoever gets the ball over the line on the ground first is the winner. And if they don't, it's a draw.
I love the draw.
You like the draw?
I love the draw.
I bet you do today.
You're going to tell me that those 34 gentlemen out there last night didn't deserve to go away with something?
I'm with Gus.
Not even a Triple M show bag, I imagine.
Look, I agree with you on that, but how does it work on tipping comps?
Well,
everyone gets half?
Everyone picks it. No, if you don't pick a draw, you don't get a point. That's it.
You can't pick a draw in a tipping comp.
Well, can't you? Well, then no one gets a point. No one gets a point. I like your call, though, Nick. I appreciate your opinion.
Weekend legends on Sydney's Triple M.
The best in the world in basketball are coming to Melbourne in 2019.
It's better than nothing. Yes, the big announcement this week is that the Boomers will be playing the USA basketball team in August. It'll be two games over the 22nd and 24th of August, and it's being held in Melbourne at, get this, Etihad Stadium.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, a big bloody stadium, Etihad Stadium. These will be exhibition games in the lead up to the 2019 FIBA World Cup in China, which is the reason why USA is kind of free and around the area to do these exhibition games. It's the first time since 2000 Olympics that a USA team will be in Australia to compete. And the Boomers look like they have a pretty bloody strong team with Joe Ingles, Patty Mills, Dante Exum, Aaron Baines, and the possible Ben Simmons getting involved in this game.
Well, Ben Simmons has definitely put his hand up to say that he wants to play for the Boomers. He is an Australian.
Yes.
I mean, he's a lock for the Rookie of the Year. You can catch him tomorrow against the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's having an outstanding season. You know, it's the second most in triple doubles after the great Oscar Robertson.
It's a pretty amazing season that he's having, and he's turning a lot of heads in the basketball world. And the USA team, of course, you have the potential names of people like Stephen Curry, James Harden, and the one and only LeBron James possibly coming over and playing some ball. Etihad holds about just over 53,000 people. So they're looking to have over 100,000 people at these two basketball games over 2 days.
That is a big crowd.
It is a big crowd. They're going to have a basketball court flown in and placed elevated over the AFL ground. They've already got 55,000 people on the interest list for this game. It is insane.
Including myself, I hasten to
add. Oh, you're on the list.
I've registered my interest.
Well, tell me, Chris.
I've registered my interest in playing.
Have you registered your interest for the absolute front row tickets? Because they're very interesting what you get with these front row tickets.
Sounds intriguing.
Okay, so you get a 2 hour. Let me just preface this. $4,000 a ticket.
Whoa.
Sounding front row tickets. Less interesting.
2 hour pre-game function with premium food and beverages served to you. Here's a real highlight. The 1 hour post-game function with dessert.
It's the right time for dessert.
Yeah, better be a Cornetto or something. A celebrity MC, some VIP merch, and a souvenir lanyard. So that's the most expensive tickets. Everything behind that is VIP packages from, you know, $2,500 all the way down to $300. They said there are going to be tickets available from $69. I think they're in the next suburb.
Yes, they come with binoculars.
The interesting thing about this one, because it's so big, I think the nosebleed seats are actual nosebleed seats.
Yeah,
not
right.
Because of altitude, but because as part of the ticket price, someone comes and just punches you in the face for being poor.
Yeah, you know, the only real difference between the absolute front row tickets and every other package is that, A, you're not sitting in the front row, and B, you don't get the dessert. The dessert seems to be the real seller.
I think what they just simply need to do is get real and drop the price, take out the dessert, take out the lanyard, get away for $3,000, then you could really enjoy yourself.
So $4,000's a lot of money for a ticket, right?
It seems to be that way.
It's a pricey icy pole you got there.
But there is more expensive tickets in the world, and I've done my research here. I'm just going to take you through a few of them. For the 2013 PGA Masters Golf Tour, for 4 days, for $4,500, you could get the 4 days of golf, which is way too expensive for golf in general for me.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to jump up pretty largely here. The 2010 NBA Finals, Chris, you'll remember the Lakers versus the Celtics, a very iconic battle.
Indeed.
Mm. Some tickets were going for $57,000 a ticket.
Wow. Get rooted.
Yeah, it's true.
$57,000.
We're going to keep jumping up.
That's one fancy lanyard.
Yeah. That better be a great dessert. In 2013, for the Wimbledon final, we had Andy Murray versus Novak Djokovic, and tickets were going for $65,000 to see those two guys.
Nope. I can't remember who won.
And here we go. The big one, of course. You know, you've got to look to boxing for some of the most expensive tickets in the world. The 2017 fight of Mayweather versus McGregor, ringside tickets were going for $110,000 each to watch two buffheads punch each other in the head. That's cold.
Meanwhile, at the doubleheader out at ANZ Stadium today, I think an adult can get in for $20 and take four kids for free. We love Rugby League Weekend Legends Triple M. We're just hoping that we're going to bump into Barack Obama out at ANZ Stadium for the doubleheader this afternoon. South Sydney Rabbitohs taking on Manly Sea Eagles, Parramatta Eels against the Cronulla Sharks.
I am backing Manly. That's my Obama.
My name is Chris Gale. I'm resting comfortably after enduring the Golden Point loss. The West Tigers going down 7-9 to the Brisbane Broncos.
Tough loss, mate.
AH Kaylee, are you waiting anxiously for your St. George Illawarra Dragons?
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely terrified that we're going to lose to the Titans. I'm so nervous.
Boy, do I just...
Oh, if it happens now, I'm going to be so happy.
A touch of complacency can be a very, very dangerous thing.
Yep.
Andrew Rose, you're gloating unbearably.
I am so happy that not only did the Dogs get a win last night and a 2-point close one against the Panthers, but I also got to talk to Braith and Nasser this morning. A Bulldog's great.
Write it in your diary, Rose.
I will.
We've had our first true legend on the show, and we've got more legends coming up in the second hour, which is going to be fantastic. We've got Greg Rust talking about the Formula One Grand Prix and the V8 supercars.
Rusty.
We're examining South Sydney reopening the book of feuds yet again, this time the target, the Manly Sea Eagles. And coming up soon, we've got, in fact, after the break, we've got an interview with Jude Bolton from the Sydney Swans about all things AFL, Sydney Swans, GWS Giants, AFLW Grand Final. We're always discussing what is footy. We think it's league.
Yeah, probably.
Mm.
It could be soccer.
Maybe.
Definitely not rugby union.
No.
No.
But this morning we'll allow AFL as well.
Sure.
We're really, really excited to have 325-game veteran and two-time premiership winner Jude Bolton from the Sydney Swans on the line. How are you, Jude?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Well, thank you, Jude.
Hey, Jude.
Hey.
We're coming off the back of the Bombers 14-15-99 defeating the Adelaide Crows 12-15-87 last night at Etihad. Did that surprise you?
A little bit. I think Adelaide were missing a couple of players going to the game, and coming off a grand final, they're always a little bit slow to start. There's a lot of buzz around Essendon at the moment because of a few new players that came in the trade week last year, and did they shine last night? They were fantastic. To run over Adelaide, you know, finishing that final term 20 points down and just stormed home in front of a big Etihad crowd, it was pretty special.
And, of course, we're all about Sydney football, Jude, and we've got a really exciting doubleheader coming up as far as Sydney fans are concerned. That's on right. Sunday. The main game, as we see it, of course, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, is 7:20 p.m. over at Optus Stadium in Perth and the glittering new Dish Liquor Bowl, as we call it, where the Swans are taking on the West Coast Eagles, and it'll be live on Triple M after 7 o'clock after the Rugby League. Now, the Swans seem to be having calf issues this year. So we've got Inns with Jared McVay and Heath Grundy. Their calves are okay, but Dan Henderbury's is bad.
Yeah, the calves, the baby cows, they're old men, these guys now. That's the old man's injury. But certainly, it's a tough game over there always, and particularly now that they're opening up the new stadium, it'll be a pressure cooker atmosphere. But I think the Swans should go pretty well. They're missing their key ruckman, obviously Sam Naismith, who unfortunately did his knee during the pre-season, which was really disappointing. So it'll be Cal Sinclair up against Nick Natanui, who's back from his knee injury. And I think the Swans have got enough talent for them to play on fire.
Jude, it's Rose here. Just speaking about what you were saying about Naismith out with the ACL and also Kurt Tippett retired, do you think that Callum Sinclair and Darcy Cameron are the answer for the Swans?
Oh, they have to be. That's the brutal reality is, you know, you've sort of, once an injury happens, you've just got to move on. And yeah, with Kurt Tippett retiring, it sort of leaves a lot on two young men. So Callum Sinclair has to stand up. You've got Darcy Cameron, who's only, you know, hasn't untried at this point. And you'll see, you know, the likes of Dean Terrell is just pinch hitting now and then, or potentially Alir as well.
Swans to win?
Yeah, I think the Swans will win. Yeah.
Nice.
Then jumping backwards in time, it's Sunday at 1:10 p.m. at UNSW Canberra Oval. The GWS take on the 2016 Premiers, the Western Bulldogs. You can listen via the DAB from 1 o'clock or on our Triple M AFL app. Rookie Zach Landon is in at small forward for the GWS, but Stevie J's retired. Tom Scully's out. What are our prospects for the GWS Giants fans, do you think?
Oh, I think the Giants are in right up there. He's up in this one. I think they're going to have a good year. They've obviously lost a little bit of talent. It was disappointing to lose Zach Williams. Moving forward with his injury, but they've also lost Nathan Wilson. So some of the big issues are off half back for them. So they've got to fill a few slots. They'll probably slide the likes of Lockie Whitfield and the young Harry Perlman off half back, but. I mean, they've got super talent. I think I get lucky enough to get to watch them pretty regularly throughout the year. And, you know, they're going to be exciting to watch all year. I think, you know, just against the Western Bulldogs, the Bulldogs have had a good run against the Giants of late. But I think the Giants will get the result down at UNSW Oval.
Jude, in the women's comp, the AFLW Bulldogs captain Katie Brennan, she's copped a suspension that's ruled her out of the grand final. That's it. Appeal failed. She's out. Yeah. She's taken it to the Human Rights Commission as gender discrimination because a man on the same charge playing in the AFL would only have to pay a fine. I think it's about $5,000 for a second offence, and they wouldn't have to miss a game. They definitely wouldn't have to miss the grand final. What are your thoughts on this discrepancy between the two codes? Is that fair?
It's pretty unfair in that sense, but I guess it's just such a rare one to take it to the Human Rights Commission. We'll wait and see how this plays out. Just unfortunate for Katie. I mean, you know, the women have had such an incredible year, and then you know, you line up for a grand final and then to be rubbed out like that, it's just really unfortunate. And you could see the look on her face as she came out of the tribunal, how devastated she was. And yeah, unfortunately, it's they go in without her, and it's going to be a big game against Brisbane. I think the Lions, you know, they'll have to be pretty pretty confident again there, but it's going to be a tough game.
For the purists, it's at Prince's Park, but I think they now call it Icon Park down there at Melbourne. Right. It's 12.
The purists.
Yeah, 12:35 p.m. today.
We're always purists.
Jude, thanks very much for your time. We'll be hoping that the Swans are shaking down the thunder from the sky all season long. Really appreciate it.
Terrific. Look forward to talking to you guys.
Cheers, Jude.
See ya.
Weekend Legends, Triple M. Now, speaking of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, AH, they're at it again.
Yes. Now, look, boys, rugby league, I think like any good sport, it's a narrative, isn't it? It's tribal. It's lines in the sand. It's feuds. And the Rabbitohs, they know the motivating power of a feud. This week, they've dusted off the Book of Feuds, which is a real thing. It's not a metaphor. I was commissioned by Russell Crowe and written by Mark Courtney. And they've sent this out to their 27,000 members about the Manly Sea Eagles. The cultures of South Sydney and Manly are starkly opposed, and there are a few clubs we enjoy beating more. Traditionally, South Sydney represent the working class, while Manly unashamedly stand for privilege and position.
Seems pretty straightforward
to
me.
Makes sense to me.
What?
I mean, let's not look at housing prices in Redfern, but when we take them on, we take on more than a football team. We take on their whole born-to-rule mentality, which I think is a Johnny Thunders song. But, boys, we love a good feud, don't we?
We certainly do. And by the way, the Book of Feuds isn't obviously going to be part of the Russell Crowe Art of Divorce auction now.
No, I don't think it is. I think he wants to hang on to that one. He's not worried about his wife getting the commissions on that.
Isn't that that hot new musical that's just opened in Sydney?
That's right.
The Book of Feuds?
That's it. Look, there's all sorts of great rivalries over the years in the NRL. The West's, you know, the Fibro Silver Tales against Manly, a pretty similar theme back in the 70s.
Roy Masters should be putting in a copyright claim on this one, I think.
Yes, Rose, your dogs against the Eels in the 80s.
Yeah, we loved going up against the Eels. It's not as hot these days, but that was a big feud in the 80s.
Kind of weirdly, the Cowboys and the Broncos in this decade, because they seem to love each other.
There's just something about those two teams. It's always clutch.
And I think we can all agree, Storm versus everyone.
Storm versus everyone with a soul. And also, a pretty historic one, in my view, is me versus the Roosters.
Oh, right, yes.
Hate them.
Nick Politis has kept up late at night about your anger and disdain,
yeah, he's worried.
Kayleigh.
He's worried. Yeah, good chat, guys.
I think we've got Nick Politis on the line. Uncle Nick, no.
Yes, hello.
Back off, AH.
Last season on, you know, that other show we had, which was called The Back Row, we had a Bring Back the Manly Hate campaign. We thought that they'd got away with it for too long. So got away with not being hated enough for too long. So I'd like to thank Russell Crowe for jumping on board.
Yeah. It's a little confusing to me how he's sort of talking about the privileged people of... I've never thought of Manly as a privileged area. I mean, you know, you talk about the Roosters, that's where a lot of the wealthy people live. I've never seen that. I guess it's just something. Why do you think they would release that now? Is it to hype up the game, or is it just something that's always in the blood there?
Yeah, it's absolutely to hype up the game. But the whole Manly thing like that, that was created by Roy Masters at the Fibro versus Silvertails War.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely a little bit of canny pre-game publicity. And anything,
very clever.
Anything that gets Manly Supremo Ken Arco Arthurson offside is absolutely fine by my particular point of
get
view.
Get him Arcoing up.
Yeah, completely Arcoing.
Damn it, I was going to say that.
I tell you what, Politis and Arco, they're jumping up and down right now on the spot. You're on Weekend Legends Triple M. We love all our sport around here, including those on four wheels.
Yes.
Unfortunately, only one of three of us has a driver's license.
Oh, hey.
Now, listen, Weekend Legends, when we think Formula One, MotoGP, V8 supercars, we automatically think Mr. Motorsport, Greg Rust. We've got Greg speaking this morning. How are you, Greg? I think you're down at Albert Park, aren't you?
Good morning. I'm here. Only one of you with a driver's license. We've got to do something about that. We need to get you guys to some advanced driver training and get you to come out to a race circuit at some point and find out why I get so excited about this stuff, guys.
Look, it stresses me out, and I feel like the roads are full of people who should not be allowed to drive. I'm doing my civic duty by recognising that.
I'm well, down, Rusty.
Come to Albert Park and see the best in the business, and you can appreciate what they do for a living. There are some very, very good drivers here this weekend across all kinds of categories.
And we had practice for Formula One yesterday, Greg. I think Lewis Hamilton dominated the Mercedes. What else happened?
Yeah, two sessions, both 90 minutes each, and it kind of helps give us a little bit of an indication as to who's where, because in the pre-season testing, they had 8 days in Spain. It's not always clear from a form guide standpoint as to who the real favourite is, so to speak. But clearly the reigning champion starts favourite based on the two practice sessions we saw yesterday. Hamilton and those Mercedes cars are very fast. They look good from a race run standpoint. Sadly, Daniel Ricciardo got a three-grid spot penalty yesterday for a little misdemeanour under red flag situations. But the officials did take note, guys, that he had reacted well and endeavoured to do the right thing safety-wise. He just hadn't quite reduced the speed enough. So they actually were a little more lenient, I think, in the reading of the way they applied that penalty. He kind of nearly got it to the level they were looking for.
Driving too fast under a red flag. I got a letter from the Motor Transport Authority one day about that. Now, does that lessen the prospects of us seeing the Shoei on Sunday, Greg?
I hope not. I mean, they've clearly got a very good chassis, a very good car underneath him. Whether the power unit or the engine is up to the battle with Mercedes remains to be seen. So today we have one more chance to tune these cars, one more practice session before they go into qualifying here at Albert Park between 5 and 6 o'clock tonight. So the only kind of caveat I would put on that in this discussion is weather. As I talk to you now, there's some grey clouds above Melbourne, right above the circuit here, and there's, according to the forecast, a very strong chance of rain. So that could mix things up. But it's a good car. It may mean that he qualifies well, and then he's hit by that three grid spot penalty. But he's a tenacious racer. We call him the Honey Badger. And tomorrow for the GP, the first one of the year, guys, he will be dynamite. You can tell from his body language this week in Melbourne that he's starting the year in the best shape with his team since he joined them.
Rusty, they've introduced safety modifications in the driver's cockpit. They're calling it the Halo, clearly looking for a divine safety intervention. Can you talk us through what the Halo is?
You're a very angelic creature, aren't you? Don't you run around with a halo most days of the week?
I'm a little devil, Rusty.
Is he talking to me?
I was being facetious. I knew that. So, look, essentially, paint the picture in your mind. A Formula One car is an open wheel, open top cockpit scenario. But what they've done is created a safety device that looks exactly as its name suggests, a halo around the top, just above the driver's helmet, and it's designed to be a rollover protection device. They are constantly navel-gazing in Formula One in the areas of safety, ways to improve it. So these things cost about £15,000 to make. They're made of very specialist carbon fiber and titanium and things like that.
Fire
and out. They're designed to withstand the weight of a London bus. You could put a London bus on top of that car and the driver's head would still be safe.
I'm designed for that weight as well.
The fans aren't all happy though, guys, because it's harder to see the driver's helmet and to know who's who.
Right.
And who is driving the London bus on Sunday?
Probably me. I'm not much of a race driver, so.
And, of course, the V8s as well this weekend, Greg. Scott McLaughlin took out the Australia Grand Prix yesterday, but Shane Van Gisbergen retains his lead in the championship.
Such a great atmosphere here. You really got to come down and experience it. And that is because the V8s now are playing for championship points. So you're absolutely right. Race one yesterday, those DJR Team Penske Fords, McLaughlin looked good. Jamie Wincup getting on the podium as well, the reigning or the seven-time champion, and Fabian Coulthard, who is teammate to McLaughlin, on the podium as well. So that was a longer race. We've got a sprint race in the sort of middle part of the day today and another longer race with pit stops and strategy coming into play in the twilight tonight after qualifying wraps up for Formula One. So huge day here, and the supercars play a very big part in it.
It sounds like it's your Easter show down there at Albert Park, Greg. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us this morning.
Good on you guys. Nice to catch up. Cheers.
Thanks very much.
See you, mate.
Now, if you want to catch Greg's new podcast, it's Rusty's Garage, and there's 9 episodes dropped this past Monday. Check out the entire season of Rusty's Garage out now. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. Where were we when Josh was scoring that iconic try?
Where were we?
We were outside the stadium, making our way into the stadium. We were 20 minutes late for the game, thanks to our good friend Felix showing up half an hour late for the meeting time. And I've told him we're not talking and not having eye contact for the next 2 months.
At least you heard it.
I think there was also some controversy in terms of the route that Chris took on the way there.
Oh, Chris always takes the wrong directions to ANZ Stadium. We will never agree on these things.
So it was a win for the Bulldogs. What's coming up in NRL for the rest of the round, Rose?
It is an exciting couple of days coming up for the weekend here. Firstly, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, Triple M will be covering the Raiders v. the Warriors at GIO Stadium. I'm looking at this weekend as a bit of a reality check. Back to reality, I think the Raiders are going to get a win there over the Warriors. And then we go to the doubleheader at ANZ Stadium. The Rabbits v. Man. And then the Eels v. the Sharks. And what's interesting about the Eels-Sharks are they're both 0-2. So one team's going to get their first win, one team's going to go 0-3, which is going to be tough.
God, I hope it's a draw.
And and Paul Gallen and Matt Moylan both out for the Sharky Boys.
Which is a
real shame because Gallen's only 10 losses away from having the most losses in rugby league history, I think.
But kudos to the NRL for putting on a great deal out for the doubleheader, so everyone should get out.
Absolutely. The Easter show's out there as well. You can have a whole day out there. It's going to be exciting. And then we move forward to Sunday. Triple M will be covering the 4-10 game. It's the Titans versus the Dragons, and AH has already cursed the Dragons by saying that's going to be an easy win for them. I think the Titans could get a win there now that you said that.
No, I don't.
AH comment.
round 3. I mean, the March curse that the Dragons or you know Mary McGregor seems to hold. I'm cautious, but I reckon we've got it in the bag. Come on.
It's interesting. You weren't cautious 10 minutes ago.
They're playing at Toowoomba, aren't they, Rose?
They are playing at Clive Burghofer Stadium. Excuse me.
Oh, shout out to Clive.
Well, I did a little bit of research into Clive.
Oh,
he was a former mayor of Toowoomba.
Oh yeah.
And a great philanthropist. He's another Darren Lockyer.
Oh. And then following that game at 6:30, this is a really interesting one tomorrow afternoon on Sunday. The Roosters v. the Knights. You know, Mitchell Pearce going up against his former team. What will he do? Will the Knights continue the dynasty and go 3-0?
I tipped the Knights.
Did ya?
I'm really excited for the Knights this season. I was saying all last season, I was like, they're in a transitional phase, but I think they'll be great. They just need some more experience. Look how right I was.
It's really just
get back to me next week, see where we are.
It's really just an intramural game, isn't it? Isn't it Roosters A versus Roosters B? Or have I got something wrong here? Am I missing something here?
Roosters reserve grade, but it's going to be a very interesting matchup there. I'm excited for the entire weekend, Chris Gale.
Bring on the NRL Weekend Legends Triple M. Spare a thought for the Triple M grill team and their competition winners are out at the Longines Golden Slipper today at the Triple M Marquee.
Mm.
They get the opportunity to see Winx and the agency George Ryder Stakes go for 24 in a row.
Wow.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Winx, you're a legend. Speaking of which, it's time for Weekend Legends of the Weekend.
Weekend. Weekend. Weekend Legend, Legend of the Weekend.
Weekend.
Weekend Legend, Legend of the Weekend.
Take us away, Rose.
Never, sorry, I'm just enjoying the intro. It's great every week. My Weekend Legend of the Weekend this weekend. All right, guys, you're going to have to bear with me for a couple minutes here because I am a wrestling fan and there was big wrestling news this week. One of the biggest superstars in wrestling, Daniel Bryan, had to retire from competition 2 years ago due to numerous neck injuries and concussions. It was a big deal in wrestling at the time and he was forced to retire against his will. For the past 2 years, he has fought harder than anyone else has ever in the industry to get back in the ring, even though they were telling him he can't. He went to numerous neurologists, and this week he was pleased to announce that he is back, returning to the ring and being able to wrestle. I watched an entire stadium of people on live television cry when he came back to the ring. It is a huge thing for wrestling, and I'm very proud of him for never giving up on his dream. Daniel Bryan, you're my Weekend Legend of the Weekend.
I love a good comeback. My Weekend Legend of the Weekend is Daphne, who's a giant yellow inflatable duck.
Oh, it makes sense. Classic.
Daphne's the mascot for the Coogee, Jetty to Jetty Swim in Western Australia. She went missing about a week ago and she was found 30 kilometres offshore near Rottnest Island, making her way for India.
Mm. Oh, we've all been there.
But the great news is that she's all good. She's also the size of a small caravan. Can you imagine the duck pancakes?
Yummy.
Daphne, you are my Weekend Legend of the Weekend.
Well, look, I too am the size of a small caravan. My Weekend Legend of the Weekend this weekend is actually a myself. Tomorrow is 6 months.
Is that the time?
Tomorrow is 6 months since my last cigarette.
Oh, that's significant.
I smoked like professionally for 10 years and I quit. And I just want to, you know, whack that out there on the radio to encourage everyone else to as well. I found it very hard to quit. But I finally read the Alan Carr book, Easy Way to Quit Smoking, and it was a breeze. I didn't have cravings or anything. So
good on you, mate. Well done.
Yeah. And I'm not, you know, beaten down by stairs regularly anymore, which at the age of 28 is pretty good. But look, This is the Weekend Legends on Sydney's Triple M. We're going to see you next week. But if you want to start off your Saturday, NRL is coming up next. But if you want to start off your rugby league weekend a little bit early, head down to Redfern Oval, where the Redfern All Blacks Women's are going to be playing Newcastle in the Harvey Norman Women's Premiership.
I never thought I'd say go All Blacks.
Gates open at 1 p.m.
This has been Triple M's Weekend Legends. Catch up anytime on the Triple M app. Pedder's new world-first vehicle weight matrix software. Know your weight at pedders.com.au. We'll be right back.